What's your name?
Tabitha 9766.
Thank you, Tabitha. You may not have a job tomorrow.
I want the same.
You're a snooze magician, dude. Don't downplay it. You're a snooze magician.
We're also calling you the Takoshi 6ix9ine of the group.
Takeshi 6ix9ine, because you have rapper energy.
Oh God.
Because you're just like whatever.
Dude. Yeah.
Whatever, man. Just walk I'll roll in when I'm ready.
You come in 20 minutes late, you walk on stage, you rap two songs over your own music that you just got like downloaded off fucking Napster, and then you
kill a man and then you leave. God.
And then you just
then
go, thanks Dallas, and then you're actually playing in St. Louis. And then you leave.
Shit.
Intense rapper energy. We should close that door, Freed, just in case.
I'm a piece of shit.
Dog is just.
I'm on one today.
Well, you know, we haven't potted in a while, so you're bringing the dog boobs pot energy.
Oh God, I hate that.
Ken Burns does a similar thing on his movies.
God. Ken Burns like in. A difficult actor.
Oh, he's the documentary godfather.
He's the documentary.
Oh,
yes.
Oh God.
He's the king of the pan.
Jesus.
He's the king of capturing real life. As we have,
we're
coming up on a six.
I thought you were making
his
like,
Takeshi 6ix9ine.
Takeshi 6ix9ine,
the Ken Burns documentary. Oh man, I love that. Oh, I want that so much.
Have you seen Ken Burns lately? Do you know what he looks like?
He looks. He's funny looking, right?
He kind of looks like an older Claire Danes, but transitioning into a man.
Oh wow, you're right. He looks exactly like that.
It's kind of uncanny. Like you want to keep staring.
Man, he's got beady little eyes.
Oh wow! Yeah. He looks like Tig Notaro to me.
Yeah,
he does look like Tig Notaro.
Yeah. Got a bowl haircut and is trying to grow a goatee.
Yeah,
I like that. I think that makes total sense. Well, we're fucking back, guys. How about it? Don't have my crib sheet. Just gonna throw my hand on here. See what happens. Nope, wrong one. There we go.
Yeah, we're back. Passports have been stamped. Jobs have been adjusted.
I travel with two passports.
Because
right? I travel with my Canadian and my American passport.
Right.
And do you fumble them all out on the desk?
Yeah.
Geez, which one to use here?
I literally have been doing that because I will book what my usually my plan is I leave. On my state passport, my United States passport, and then while I'm traveling, I'll travel on my European or my Canadian passport, and then I obviously enter the United States back with my American passport. And something happened where I think I was leaving Germany or I was leaving Norway or something, going into Germany, and the guy just looked at my passport and he goes, "There's no stamp,"
and I was just like, "Oh God."
Oh,
here we go.
Yeah. So, and I pulled out my other one. I was like, yeah, I travel. Maybe it's on this one. And then he kind of looked at me and he like, stamped it. And it was like, he wasn't having a very good day. And it was,
he's like, I'll let you go this time.
Yeah.
All I got are these damn Nepalese coins, if you know what I mean.
Dude, it's going through customs is kind of scary. I think it's particularly in America, you know?
It's a little bit scary nowadays. I feel like with, because
they're very inquisitive, you know?
There's a whole drug element too.
Right.
And then there's just like the ICE border patrol thing.
Yeah,
going on.
The scariest part is knowing that I'm smuggling drugs.
You're probably smuggling drugs all the time.
I did have a weed pen on me going through across international borders.
Really?
What's the deal? That seems like a little bit of a risk.
Huge risk. But it was like
the United States CBD pen.
So it wasn't, I think, most of. You don't have
don't you get put down for that in Texas now?
Well, I've come to realize, get death penalty for CBD.
I thought they came out against it big. Like there in New York City was like, no CBD.
CBD is, well, I noticed in Germany, I think Germany and England both saw a lot of CBD products around.
Oh, yeah.
They seem like places that get it.
Yeah. And
Yes.
Especially Germany, yeah. So I was seeing a lot of CBD. So I don't think it was really that big of a deal, but you never know what you never know what's like left in the side pocket of your bag from Burning Man 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bullets.
Yeah. So
Dog never know. You might have a shroom in her front pocket.
You might be carrying some Laird Hamilton probiotic mushrooms.
In my front pocket. Shit, not right now.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're back. It's Did You Reddit weekly podcast. It is a weekly podcast. I'm going to keep saying it because I know even though we took a week off, this is a weekly podcast about the internet. By way of Reddit, the front page of the internet, my name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
Mafride.
Dog Boobs, aka Tekeshi 69.
Yeah, aka I do whatever the fuck I want.
Aka real piece of shit, Dog Boobs.
A lot of people ask us what Dog Boobs looks like because she's definitely like...
Face tattoos.
A mystery.
She's kind of the grace and soul of the show.
Oh, she really is. Well, that's the problem is we know that we can't do this without you.
We've tried.
No.
So you have literally all the leverage.
No.
You're a bit the Freddie Mercury of this pod.
Right.
The truth is I'm challenged. I with waking up on time anytime. And I remember a Dr. Phil episode a long time ago, and he said, if you're late to things consistently, it means you're a selfish person.
It means you're a real piece of shit.
Oh, good segue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, that's a good segue.
A selfish, entitled little bitch.
What? Right. Which is straight what off, we're talking about today.
From Dr. Phil's mouth.
Straight from Dr.
Phil's mouth. If you wake up late on accident from hitting your snooze button, you're a real selfish piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, if you do it once, okay.
Right.
But consistently for 3 years, I'm a shithead.
It's an interesting topic in general. People that you know will always be 15 minutes late. And so you adjust when they should arrive by 15 minutes the other way.
It's the worst. Yeah. It's like, and I know it. I know it's the worst.
But you're not typically late here. Honestly, it's...
Well, you are.
I am always late here.
But it's like 60-40. No, I don't know.
But it's
sometimes,
okay. It's
sometimes
okay.
You're
we
on
we
it.
Forgive it. Here's because it's on brand for you.
I'm working on it.
You've established a character.
I'm working on it. I know it's a flaw, personality flaw, and I'm working on it.
It's all right. Some things you just can't get rid of. So we're gonna talk about entitled people today and kind of some of the sister subreddits around entitled people. This is actually recommended to us from an iTunes comment and review. So thank you for that. And you know, like, subscribe, fucking share, all that stuff, guys. Remember, we're doing this for nothing. We have an unsuccessful Patreon because we tried to start one and then we did not pay attention to it. So
it's really hard.
You know, all the things that people typically do to self-fund, we can't. So... appreciate your love. Rate, like, subscribe. I know we said give us 3 stars sometimes. I don't know why we did that because it negatively affected us. But I appreciate the person who did give us 3 stars and then comment in the review that they're giving us 3 stars because we told them to give them 3 stars or give us 3 stars, which was just like, you know, this wild game of self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Which isn't how the algorithm works.
No.
It
did not work in our favor.
The bots don't read the comments and they're like, I get it.
They were kidding.
It's a goof.
Episode 97. Oh, I get it. Yeah. No, that's not how it works. We just ended up getting, we got doinked. Yeah.
We're humbly begging on our knees for 5 stars.
Please.
I also recommended this pod to a friend the other day, and I had this intense feeling of insecurity because she's fucking brilliant, and we were talking about really complicated topics about kind of the proliferation of internet like semantic changes and problems.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh yeah, I do this podcast about Reddit. You should listen to it, but it's not smart.
so get ready.
Just heads up, yeah. But then she listened to it and she was like, no, I think you guys are quite smart. You guys just like don't do it in a way that isolates people and makes it feel academic, which I thought was nice.
Great way to look at
it. That's also kind of like what we try to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We try to hit smart things. We want to talk about the nitty gritty of the culture behind the thing.
We're just like working class salt miners, like trying to reach other working class salt miners.
Exactly.
Yeah. Picture this. We're just a couple of blokes.
Yeah.
After a hard day at the salt mines, down at the pub. Just talking about what's going on.
Yeah.
Talking about what's happening in the salt mines of the internet.
Swapping war stories.
We're not radio producers.
No, we're not
journalists.
No, we're like you.
We're like
salt miners.
Salt miners.
Just like you, salt mine listener.
Our audience is salt miners.
Yes.
Is the threat of working in a salt mine that you the salt absorbs all of your body's water and you dehydrate and die? Is that like the
giant snail?
Like a snail? Like we're all kind of like just drier snails, you know?
I think it's just really
snails with crust.
It's really, really hard. I think that's all it is.
Yeah.
Because you're just like shoveling dirt all day.
Yeah.
You're probably wondering, why am I doing this?
Yeah, you chip away at blocks of salt.
You're probably saying I shouldn't have been such a prick as a seventh grader to Mrs. Hendricks, which was my teacher.
Right.
Sorry.
And now like the big thing is sea salt, fleur de sel. And you're down in the mines shilling earth salt.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, exactly. You're not even shilling like the most updated,
like flaky pink Himalayan.
Yeah, being a salt miner in modern day earth salt business is like being a Blockbuster employee.
What do you guys think of people who mispronounce words like or pronounce them like in an intellectual way? Some people call pink Himalayan salt, but I think they say Himalayan just to like get an edge on you at the dinner party.
I bet that's like
an entitled
technically
move.
Pronounced.
No, Himalayan?
I mean, I hope not, so but stupid. I feel like if I were to say Himalayan, that person would then say, well, that's actually how you pronounce it if you talk to Himalayan monks. And you're like, ugh.
That's fair.
I just Googled the salary of a salt miner.
Oh, nice. Uh-oh. Okay.
If you tell me it's 365 grand a year, I'm interested.
Is it going to say, just say slavery?
This is literally slavery. This is bullshit. $37,000 to $44,000. But
That's most entry-level jobs.
That's not slavery. That's actually a working, that's a good working class
job. But that's
job.
Very, very low. But then I'm thinking no one's salt mining in LA. People are salt mining where it's a little cheaper to live. So hopefully that is not as horrible
like
as it would
the
be
the Ukraine?
Here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the Ukraine, for instance. Yeah. That's like a small fortune.
Yeah, exactly. I think salt mining, is there a good sub on salt miners?
I don't know if we should really find out and find a salt miner to talk to.
Should we start or become moderators of the salt miners subreddit?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Adult babies hasn't been going so well.
Well, hey, keep it up. There's two readers on salt miners and there's nothing here right now. So I think somebody had a similar idea where they wanted to galvanize. They wanted to galvanize the world of salt mining.
Yeah.
Critical of the recent Star Wars, salt miners clash, Clash of Clans salt miners. I don't know if there's, is there a subreddit dedicated to salt mining? The art of salt mining, maybe?
Man.
No. Nothing, man.
You know, it's pretty cool. Just a day ago. The American rock salt was recognized as an industry role model.
What does that mean?
I'm assuming, based on the headline alone, that it means that they run their operation pretty tight.
Well,
they have outreach programs, financial donations to charities and local universities. American rock salt, y'all.
Interesting. So this is a all right, here we go. Here's man, Reddit, what a fucking goddamn resource it is. Here's an Ask Historians post titled, "What's So Bad About Working in the Salt Mines?"
Nice.
Yeah.
How did that become such a dire punishment? And then in The Prize, which is a book evidently, author Daniel Yergin says Chinese were drilling 3,000-foot wells in the quest for salt for centuries before oil drilling began in Pennsylvania. And I know that in some places, pre-industrial societies obtained salt via evaporation. So mining salt in horrible conditions is not the only option. But salt mines seem to have taken an almost iconic status as a hellish work environment to which one would be sent as a punishment a little short of death. Were they more dangerous than other mines in terms of penal labor, where, if anywhere, was being sent to work in salt mines really used as a form of punishment, and for what crimes? So the top answer here is You might be able to guess, working in closed spaces underground with little ventilation where you're breathing in particles of rock salt dehydrates you in the short form, short term.
You were right.
So you guys are fucking right.
Yeah, I'm just saying the Reddit here says the same thing. Salt mining was one of the most expensive and dangerous operations due to rapid dehydration caused by constant contact with the salt.
Oh, interesting.
So salt can absorb the water out of your body and into the rock.
Okay.
So if you're surrounded by it for too long, you could dehydrate slowly, like a frog boiling in a slow cooking pot of water.
Damn.
And your organs could start to fail and you could die. Not to mention.
And become salt.
Not so that's like on so top is, of so just shitty labor, right? It's like shitty labor plus. Welcome to shitty labor plus.
Yeah. So this is actually, so this is like true, it's, truly horrific labor.
I guess it's dangerous in the sense that you could say, right. I'm not feeling good. I need a slug of water out of that big tin with a ladle, you know?
Right.
Where you only, there's 8 ounces, but you only splash three into your mouth.
Yeah.
And the Boba Fett guy goes, or actually not Boba
Foot
Fett.
Foot massage
which
first.
Which one's the chubby guy on?
Jabba.
Jabba the Hutt, yeah.
Yeah, so he was a salt mine.
Pretty
he
much.
Was a salt, he was a salt mine foreman, right?
He was a slug, which
ooh,
salt
ironic.
Kills. Interesting. I think we found the triangle to move on from.
Yeah. It's been an extremely long and informed conversation about salt mines.
Yes.
But I bet nobody listening knew about that.
That's true. I'm going to cross post this thing I just found.
Now you have something to talk about at your dinner party this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. I've been looking for topics for my dinner party.
Enjoy being the coolest guy at the party. Or gal.
If you're so inclined.
Cool. All right. So we briefly mentioned it. We kind of skirted before we started talking about the mines. We briefly mentioned how Dog Boobs is an entitled SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be talking about entitled people today. But before we do that, as is customary, let's go over the front page. And I guess let's focus on this week. I mean, obviously, we didn't do last week's, but I don't know how to search by 2 weeks.
So we only live our lives 1 week at a time.
Yeah.
What's been happening this past week? Has there been any wild tragedies? It's been fucking...
I know.
Breaking people?
I feel like...
9/11 today, guys.
Oh, shit. You're right. I don't know when. I assume this is going to be up by Friday. So, yeah.
Shout out to the twin boys. Yeah.
I forgot.
The twin boys.
They tell you never to forget, and here I am. Yeah. I forgot.
You dick.
I'm an asshole.
You even have the bumper sticker on your car that says, never forget.
Funny story about Dog Boob's dad.
Okay.
Right after 9/11, my dad bought...
Is his name Cleansington?
It's Cleansington.
Where could this possibly be going? With funny story about Dog Boob's dad and 9/11.
Like, just does this sound like the ultimate Republican baby boomer to you?
Oh, God.
He bought an American flag sticker.
Okay.
And
I'm interested.
Put it on my mom's car. So he buys it and he's like, hey, I got this for the minivan. And my mom was like, I don't need to put a sticker on the minivan. Like, I don't want bumper stickers. Like, it's nothing about being fucking patriotic. I don't want a sticker. Put it on your own damn car.
Right.
Like, if you want to put a sticker on your car, go for it.
That's your business.
She wakes up the next morning and he snuck it onto the minivan.
Amazing.
So she's like out there in the morning peeling it off and leaves some like residue and stuff. And my dad's pissed about it.
He's like, the best couple's fight.
Did you hate the country or something? And my mom was like, I don't know how.
Whoa.
If you wanted the sticker on your fucking car, you like, why don't you?
He's
put
like,
it,
well, I'm not putting that on my Miata. Yeah. Miata's cherry, dude.
He's like, not my Miata. Like, it belongs on a minivan, if anything.
Wow. What was his response? I'm so confused why he wouldn't put it on his own car.
There is no logic when it comes to Cleansington.
Oh my God.
It is not.
Did you guys have a flag in front of your house?
Oh, God. Yes.
Like a big a pole
and
a flag.
He left it up all night, which is not supposed to do.
Is that true?
Because the ravens will eat it or something.
There are like so many flag rules. I think you're not supposed to even take or leave them up overnight when it gets dark.
You're definitely not supposed to wear them as pants.
Yeah, that's for sure.
but you see that every 4th of July, every fucking patriotic Orange County bro in the world is wearing like American board shorts.
Trying to roundhouse kick his buddies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. You can keep it up 24 hours if it's properly illuminated during all hours of darkness, but otherwise you should lower it at night.
I feel like there's maybe a line in our fucking Pledge of Allegiance about that shit or something.
Oh, maybe.
I don't remember.
Forget
I don't
to fold the flag before bed.
I pledge allegiance I'm pretty sure to it these flag way. Pants that I'm wearing on the beach in Orange County.
Dude.
And to these flag pants for which they roundhouse kick.
For which they billow on the beach. For which they roundhouse kick.
Well, we are wildly desecrating September 11th right now.
Oh, shit. I forgot what we were talking about.
I mean, we're technically not forgetting by virtue of this conversation. Exactly. I will say,
there's a lot of those plane hitting the towers clips going around. Yeah. That you're just like, God damn!
Oh yeah,
it's still brutal. Terrifying.
So here, let me. I will say this to try to keep us from like completely, you know, keep the FBI from knocking on our doors and saying we heard what you said on your fucking podcast. 3 stars. And then just walk away.
FBI gives us 2 stars. Yeah. We're like, what?
It's not. It's worse than the salt mines, dude. So I've been going to New York recently for work a fair amount. Mm-hmm. And have you guys been to the memorial, the 9/11 memorial?
Yeah. I have, yeah.
It is one of the most beautiful and truly awe-inspiring pieces of public art I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's fucking wild, dude. Yeah. So anybody who's not been, I know we have some international listeners, you should go if you can get in the country. Like, see, try.
Yeah.
But it is basically just a giant, infinite pool. So you can where the whole buildings were, and you cannot see to the bottom of the pool. And it's just, and all the names I think are on the side or something.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful, and it's
the names are etched in steel on the side.
So, and I'm always fucking. Like, I don't get weepy, but it makes me really emotional when I'm there. It doesn't even make me emotional. Like there's something about just the recognition of a nationally considered tragedy. You know what I mean? Where we all collectively go to that place and we see it as the exact same thing and the exact same message. That's what kind of makes it really powerful to me. Is very rarely do you see something that everybody kind of collects all of their conscious thought into one place for one in purpose. And that is what that is. And it's very interesting because of that. And I don't know, this year, I've been thinking a lot about September 11th. I don't know
really?
Why. Yeah. Weirdly. I think it's just cause it is just, in our increasingly chaotic society, and especially September 11th in general, it really did change so many things of our modern world. It changed the way we interact with people from the Middle East. The whole conversation about people from the Middle East was directly a byproduct of September 11th.
Yeah.
The
getting on airplanes, travel.
Getting on airplanes, complete change. Like when I was, you know, I was in Germany and in London and Germany, England, and in Norway. And, you know, you don't take off your shoes when you're going through, which is a little tiny thing. But you think about that and you're just like, oh, that happened because of this manic, wild.
You know, it's interesting.
Fucking depraved situation that we have. You know?
We used to not take off our shoes before we got on planes. Now we have to do it to get through security.
Right.
But now we keep taking off our shoes in the planes.
Oh,
and
there's
no security benefit to that.
No.
And I think once people got used to just not wearing shoes, they're just like, you know what?
Being like barefoot willy-nilly.
I'm just going to put it on the armrest in front of you.
Yeah.
And in that sense, the terrorists really did win.
That's fucking true. Oh, my true. God.
Because
damn
it's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Keep your loafers on.
There are kids born in the 2000s that, like, have never
experienced
9/11? Not taken their shoes off.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? There are kids born in the 2000s who never have experienced 9/11. How crazy is that?
Straight up never did.
Where were you going? Have we done this? I think everybody's done this. Where were you guys when it happened? You guys remember?
Oh, yeah.
The moon landing?
Yeah. Well, that never happened. So
that's true.
So for 9/11, I was in bed about to get up to get ready to go to school. And my dad was like, Clensington was in his room and watching the news. And apparently
just buying American flags.
Yeah. I just remember hearing from my bed, like him and my mom talking.
Your dad was just like, this is bullshit.
This is fucking libs. Fucking libs. And no, he was like, he was saying something like it was stressful talk, and my mom was like, oh my God, like what a crazy accident. And my dad was like, fucking terrorists.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he liked me right away.
Oh, well.
Must be a Fox News thing. They were behind
it.
The Fox News was behind it.
According to.
Where were you guys?
Yeah,
you would have been in high school, right?
I was in sophomore year in college.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So I was like 19.
So you were mid bong.
Pretty much. It was a Tuesday.
Morning.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not a weed bonger. That's what you call it, right?
Weed bonger? Yeah, yeah. That's the official name.
Yeah.
It's the cool way to say it.
Well, you say that, specifically about events when you were smoking weed on 9/11. It's called a weed bonger.
That's when you pull up to a concert and you open your van and you call out to the ladies anybody want to come do some weed bonging? That's right. That's how you typically get people to join you.
That's how you make friends.
But it was a Tuesday, which I remember. Like if it was a Friday or a Thursday, there would have been a party the night before. Yeah. But because it was a Monday night, we used to do Meathead Mondays.
Amazing. Oh,
because Sopranos Monday nights. Yeah.
That's the best.
And we would wear wife beaters.
College is so confusing.
And drink Carlo Rossi, like the $5 jug.
Course. Yeah.
And then cook like a huge bowl of spaghetti. And then one guy would bring over like a curl bar, like one of those, the weights.
Yeah.
And we would watch Sopranos and eat spaghetti and drink crappy red wine and just do curls.
That is incredible.
And that was Monday nights. And it was fun.
So amazing.
And then Tuesday morning comes around and then, I remember not feeling like it was a big deal because I think I just felt like I didn't get the grander implications of anything. Like I was very much in my own world, which was pretty small. And I wasn't smart.
Well, and if you weren't in the institute, because I people that were in institutions, like I was in school, I was in geometry class. Mm-hmm.
And then as the day went on, it got more intense because the teachers would talk about it, and oh wait, this is a huge deal. Thing.
Yeah.
Damn.
I remember initially being like, it's just the news. I don't know. It's the news.
It's the news.
All of my friends that were in high school when it happened, I think all had a very similar experience, which is suddenly all you're doing something, and then the teacher is like, a teacher walks in and whispers something to the other teacher and they go, oh my God. And then everybody's like, look around and be like, the fuck is going on? And then all of a sudden somebody turns on a TV and then you're just watching the towers. Right. And so that I have a very distinct memory of that. And it was, I don't think I really understood it either. It was just kind of one of those things. You're like, damn. Right.
Yeah.
But it was just like, wow, this is fucking wild. And, it sucks. Change the world forever. There's definitely pre and post 9/11.
So I guess our take on this is it sucks.
It sucks.
It's pretty sucks. Yeah, we're just saying never forget.
Don't do as we say, not as we do, don't forget.
And everyone put a American flag bumper sticker on your mom's car.
Yeah.
Never on your Miata.
No.
Always on your mom or wife's car.
That's a good
thinking about that resale value.
That's a good sort of wingy troll.
Right.
To just start putting those on people's cars.
Yeah.
And you come back and you're like the lady with the Subaru and the peace stickers, the coexist one.
Yeah.
And then she gets an American flag. She's like, what is this malarkey?
I'm surprised that's not more often done.
I know.
I want to work for a troll department, but goof.
I would love that.
It's all goof related.
Yeah.
Harmless trolls.
I've always wanted to.
It's a goof.
Nothing's worse than people who park shitty in public parking spots. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is actually a good segue into
Satan Spawn.
So we'll actually just, whatever, 9/11 front page, you get it. Let's just talk about entitled stuff. But I've always wanted to desperately is to find somebody do that and then paint their car they're taking their kids to a softball tournament out of state.
Nice.
Where it's covered in
Josie's championship softball match.
Totally. And you just, it's always covered in those markers and all the drawings and stuff. And it just is honk for victory and shit like that.
Yeah.
And
honk if you love double plays.
Yeah, exactly. that's what I would really love to do as my version of exactly that. But
other things that happened, I think that's a cool idea. And we should start a company that just goofs on people. That's kind of harmless.
Yeah.
This tropical storm that's been going on.
Right. Well, I guess Dorian was this past week.
One of the interesting things that's just the least impactful part of the storm is that people are finding all these shark teeth because the storm is dredged up old sand and which makes sense. When an animal dies in the ocean, their bones fall to the ground. Nobody eats the teeth.
Right.
And so they just go into the sand, and then these storms kick up all the sand and push them up to the beach. So people on the East Coast are going shark tooth hunting, like with kids and stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool because I've always, when I was a kid, I like the kid came back from Hawaii with the shark tooth necklace, and I was like, that's fucking tight. I need that. My family will never go to Hawaii.
Right.
But these people are finding all these cool pictures. There's all these cool pictures of like massive shark teeth. And then there's another picture of a little girl who was doing the same thing with her dad, and she finds a different kind of teeth, and it's a set of old people dentures.
Oh, I remember this. Yes.
It's just all dentures, and it's like, it's the greatest, it's the greatest goof on a goof.
It also looks like it would be horrific if your kid pulled that back.
Oh, it's like little Sally, let's go shark tooth hunting.
Right.
And she comes out with like an old person's dead dentures.
Right. And it's also like in Florida. So of course it's going to be like, of course it's what you're going to see. Here's another interesting post. And then let's move on to entitled. So there's a, I saw this. This is 13 down. After a 10-year custody battle today, I gained full rights for you guys going through the same process. Don't lose hope and never quit fighting. And you see a photo of a man dressed nicely with his arms around what I assume are his two sons. Which I guess is interesting because it is.
Can you shoot that over?
Yeah, of course. It's nice. It's like a nice message, nice thing. But B, and I don't want to sound like a men's rights activist because this is not. I don't want to be that, nor is this the place. But it is actually a big problem you see a lot with these custody battles where the women sometimes fathers are very compassionate and really, really want their kids. And
it's happened once.
The court system is just like against them, right? It's just like the way it's built for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
So, you know, you always hear this a lot with, you hear this often with, that's one of the big arguments that people make in men's rights groups is they always talk about that as a big issue, which, you know, I think is a little bit of a false flag, but I think it is true that this is a thing that happens, so it is a heartwarming thing seeing this, and we don't know what the deal is with this guy's ex-wife, but let's just assume
they're both human beings,
yep,
with complete
Miatas,
yeah, varying forms of tapestry in their lives that make them unique people.
Beautiful way to put it.
It's hard to say just because she's a wife. In my head, I'm picturing pills, Chardonnay.
Right.
Yep.
Fucking the pool boy. We don't know. We just
We don't know.
It's so everyone basically stereotypes right away.
Yeah, of course.
But like, who the hell knows?
Who hell knows, dude? Who the hell knows how many seats he had in his car?
We're stereotyping computers.
One more thing before you get to entitled, just because this is just such a fucking fantastic post from Ask Reddit. The 2010s decade will be over in 4 months. What do you think people will remember this decade for?
Oh my God.
Which is just such a fucking brain tickler, that one, you know?
Wow, what will that?
So the number one comment, see if you guys remember this, because I barely remember this, so it doesn't really work, but the clown epidemic of 2016.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, wow. Wait, that was...
We all died in 2016, you guys. We all died in 2016.
Baba Vanga called it.
Yes. And we are living in a fucking hellscape.
This seems like an alternate universe, right?
Yeah. It was when in 2016, these clowns...
Clown panic. The 2016 clown sightings.
Weren't some of them even like holding weapons and stuff? Like, weren't some of them holding like a baseball bat or something?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, this is from The Verge. 2016 clown panic. 10 questions asked and answered. It's probably all okay. First question, what's happening? How did it start? All started in South Carolina back in the middle of August. There were reports that clowns were lurking in the woods outside Greenville. One woman filed a report with the sheriff because her son saw clowns in the woods whispering and making strange noises. Mm-mm. Clowns in the woods whispering and making strange noises like they're fucking nymphs, dude.
This is fucking terrifying.
Oh,
I can't even look at this picture I'm going to send you guys.
Like, amazing.
We've all seen those the pictures of some of the clowns, but some of them are fucking scary.
Which one specifically?
Are you talking about? I just sent you guys one, but it's like someone took it across the street at night.
Oh, my God.
And it's just this clown standing on the sidewalk staring at them in the middle of the night wearing like an orange jumpsuit.
I tell you what, though. Let's be honest. What a fucking great goof.
Yeah.
What an amazing goof.
It was someone's senior prank, and it was like fucking epic.
Oh yeah, I mean it honestly is like, you know, we say panic, but I think what we mean is,
wow,
the 2016 performance art piece, yes, of the 2010s.
Yes.
Because it really is absolutely genius. But
it is, and they never solved it, right?
They never solved it. Here are some other ones though. Social media, which I think is realistically probably the case. That's going to be the thing that people more than anything else. Because remember, the 2010s, let's think about this. Like the 2010s, that's like that
iPhone
was
like 2009 or something, right?
Right.
So until
Facebook came out in 2014, or I'm sorry, 2004.
Yeah, but until the phones plus the social media happened, you didn't get the...
No. Well, right? Yeah, that's actually an interesting question.
I think
that's
like half the pie to the perfect storm.
Right.
It's true. Think of that.
Half the pie to the perfect storm.
Yeah. A lot of people say that quote.
Okay. That's kind of shocking. It feels like we've lived our lives with technology like this, but really, right, it's only been the past 10 years that we've like really gotten into it.
Yeah.
It's right. Like maybe you had a Palm Pilot before then.
I wanted a Palm Pilot in college just because I was attracted to the device of it.
Yes.
And then I quickly realized you had one.
Cleansington.
Cleansington, your dad had one?
Of course he did. God damn.
God, keeping all of his meetings organized.
Cleansington. Jesus Christ.
Guy definitely on keto.
Here's an interesting comment on this whole thread. Looking forward to this thread being unearthed in 2029. I hope y'all are doing better than us.
That's adorable. This is a time capsule.
Man. Yeah.
Good God.
My generation is going to be known for wanting to die in memes. Guess we can replace generation for decade. So
this seems like the generation of student debt. This seems like the generation of like politics and democracy falling apart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this
polarization
is,
of
I mean, this government.
Decade of Lexapro.
That's fascinating. You know? I mean, this could mark
OxyContin too.
Oh
like,
yeah.
That whole decade is now.
I mean, the OxyContin decade, I think, is probably a really accurate thing.
That's for sure, because that stuff started kicking in like 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
So probably didn't really grasp hold until like now. 9, 10, 11, and then now you're seeing the 10-year effects.
Oh, my goodness. The rise of smartphones, everyone has access to the internet, and the voice, in my opinion, in the world is...
And then finally, electric cars. I feel like I was just having this thought. We're moving into the 20s, which we used to call the roaring 20s, but what's ironic is that we're going to be electrified and there'll be no roaring anymore. And this 100 years later, no roars, right?
Yeah. We're going to have to find different
roars. Which feels like a shower thought I'm trying to put together right now in my head. We'll get there.
Well, I'm saying, you know, like, there's going to be no roars because like the electricity is going to be done, dude.
See, like what it is a roar is a combustible engine, bro. But the 20s was the kickoff. 1920s was like the kickoff of the Industrial Revolution in America. And now in the 2020s, 100 years later, we're trying to reduce carbon emissions and make everything electrified and clean.
Man, we've really fucked up with the Industrial Revolution, haven't we?
It put America where it is today, but now we're just switching course.
Well,
right?
I think America's I think America is the American brand of capitalism is becoming an increasingly failed option, and we're now seeing the byproducts of it. That's one of the big epiphanies I had from Europe, honestly, is like I was just seeing the kind of way, you know, people just walked around and were free in Germany. I'm just like, wait a second, but America's the land of the free.
Do you mean free of financial debt?
Everything. Just that this was one of the big epiphanies I had, was just the fact that everything in America is living on the precipice of failure all the time.
You're either winning or losing.
But even when you're winning, I don't know if you're truly winning because you have the perpetual threat of failure. Like, imagine, like, if we fucking walk outside and, like, get in a fight with a just rich, like, the guy that lives across the street on the catty corner with a big-ass house, and he, you know, we came out and, like, got in my car and fucking, you know, I start my engine and kick some dirt up and it hits him in the face, right? And he goes, fuck you, dude. I'm suing you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could go bankrupt for no fucking reason, right?
Yeah.
Because that's just the way our world works. Yeah. Or it's like, you know, I walk out and something happens where I like fucking trip on a kid's skateboard. I break my ankle. And then my insurance, just for whatever reason, goes like, oh, you know, that's your fault. We can't cover that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I have $50,000 of debt.
Now you're the guy with that boot scooter cruising around.
And other countries don't have that problem. Like, objectively do not have that problem. Like, we have created a system in America based on the growth proposition of the Industrial Revolution.
So let me ask
that
you this.
Does not accommodate any aspect of failure. Like, we have a booming fucking homeless population. I'm ranting now. I don't want to get any.
When you move to Europe, where are you going? What city?
Yeah.
And what are you bringing with you?
Well,
do you have a guest room?
I don't know if I'm actually going to go to Europe.
My family.
Yeah. I have actually. This is something that you should do, Fried. I've been researching getting my Italian citizenship.
I have mine.
Do you?
I'm a dueler.
Well, the fuck are you doing here? What are you doing here?
You could be raising Cheech in Italy.
You could be fucking eating spaghetti right now, dude.
Good Lord.
I've eaten it. It's delicious. The thought has crossed my mind as just like a left card, wild card move. Even if you went for 2 years,
right.
The trouble is here, you walk away from this career thing you're trying to build.
Of course.
And I think we work in a system where you're like, you can't let up for a second or else somebody else takes your place.
But isn't that how you also feel. The problem?
Yeah, like,
that's
it is.
Problem. That's
but then you go to Italy and like nobody works, but the pizza is delicious. So maybe that's what they're doing. They're just making pasta all day.
But doesn't that sound, I mean, honestly, like sounds like a better way to live a life. Like,
it is.
Like that's the thing. It's like, I get that we are ambitious.
Arrivederci. Ciao.
We're ambitious. We're doing these things.
Podcast Italiano.
I love living in LA for a lot of reasons. But the fucking hustle is so insanely exhausting.
Do you think the Midwest is like Europe a little bit? That nobody hustles.
Absolutely not.
No. You know, like the fine foods, the ancient cultures.
I mean, I think. I've been struggling with like what my complaint really is with America, because I don't want to seem like I'm a fucking
LA
just
is
complaining.
LA's a real grind. Like I went last night at like 9 o'clock to Ralph's because I was craving some Ben and Jerry's, and I was like, oof. I'm gonna go get some ice cream.
How good does that feel to be a free citizen that you can just do that?
It was nice. Like
every time I do that kind of shit, I just remember like how much as a kid I was just like, someday.
Yeah, like how many troops died for your right to do that.
Yeah.
Think about it. Don't forget.
Never forget.
This is 9/11 technically.
But anyway, the Ralph's is like a it's kind of like this weird homeless shelter of like it wasn't stress-free in the Ralph's. I was kind of like head on a swivel like
I know.
Like people were like eyeballing me, and I was like, I don't know. It made me not want
to
like
Ralph's too.
It's like a decent Ralph's, but after a certain time when like the families with
of course
you know the mom shoppers go home, it's like guys just getting some free AC, sticking their head in the freezer. You're like, this is a weird Ralph's. And then one guy was just like, there's a ton of people living in the parking lot.
Right, of course. Just screaming at things.
There's a guy screaming, and I was like,
But you know, again, like
that makes LA a little more stressful than it already is for you.
But we should not be living in a world where that is how it. That's just what happens. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, let's get into
Italian television or something.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
By the way, it's just gratuitous boobs.
Yeah.
It was kind of how they roll over there. It's a little machismo centric.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a fucking man. This is a good, I'm going to cross post this on our subreddit, by the way. We're almost at 100 followers on our subreddit, by the way.
That's pretty good.
If I'm rounding up from 80,
I think Malcolm Gladwell says that's a tipping point.
That's I think it's a direct quote from Malcolm Gladwell. The tipping point. I mean, I don't know how people fucking discover us, but I'm glad they do. So thank y'all. Thank y'all.
All right.
Let's talk about entitled motherfucking people, man. So I, I guess this is kind of in a way somewhat piggybacks on what we were just talking about with America in a way. I mean, I don't want to seem cynical. I want to like keep the fire in your belly that like it can be better and we should be fighting for it to be better. I think that's one of my main things is just like, when you're upset about something, it's okay to be upset about it as long as you like can somehow go, now what can we do about it? You know what I mean?
It seems as though there's a system shift happening.
Yeah.
With, you know, the boomers are maybe holding on to one last hurrah.
Right. One last American flag on the back of a
but we got
Toyota Voyager. Frie over here is talking.
He's
literally like waving around manically this like hammer with a almost foot and a half handle on it. That's covered in like looks like a
in like gnarled duct tape.
Yeah, feral duct tape.
It's a man's it's like tooth definitely in there. A murder yeah. weapon, and yeah. no one's mentioned it until now.
And so he keeps for... every time he raises his voice, he starts swinging it around.
I find that people tend to pay attention to me more.
Yeah.
When I'm ranting yeah. and raving,
this is yes. our new thing. Whoever's holding the hammer,
it's like the conch
can speak.
Yes,
exactly.
All right,
it's the crazy conch.
So let's talk about Entitled. This is recommended by a fan on iTunes. In the comments. And so I hate Entitled people. I fucking hate them. I'm from fucking West Virginia. I have like this built-in like classism. I remember distinctly my dad at one point when we were in college, he fucking turned to me. I went to a really rich college, and he turned to me and pointed at some people, and he goes, "See them? That's a uniform of the rich people." And they were wearing, it was literally like somebody wearing like khakis and a like white button up shirt uh-huh. and a fucking blazer. And I was like, "You're right, Dad."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love cool. him.
And my dad always, he used to just like walk around with his like signature move was cigar in his mouth that he would just suck on.
Fucking badass.
Yeah. And wore overalls without a shirt.
Can you imagine
really?
Him meeting Clensington and them having a combo? Well. No, my I feel like Clensington would be murdered by words.
Oh, my pops, you know? Was a fucking a goddamn angel, but he loved looking like he was from the woods. So,
dude,
but anyway,
magic.
So I have this inherent
why Hillary lost.
For people that are entitled, and we can all be entitled, and it is actually true. And we can all be entitled in some capacity for certain things, of course, like. You know, I don't like waiting in line for concerts anymore because I've not done that for a long time, which is an entitled person move. But I think this is a good sub to call out people that are entitled.
Do you think Karens, we slowly get more entitled as we age until the point
right.
where we just don't want to interact because we're annoyed and then we die? It's like the perfect amount of...
Right.
It's like an annoyance builder.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's... This is... I mean, what is the source of entitlement, right? And I think that this is also one of the
feeling
beautiful
like
things about the internet.
I'm
right?
special, and I deserve better than you.
Well, but I think that is true. But I think the feeling that I'm special is an interesting characteristic that I don't necessarily think is the case. I think there's an attitude of entitlement that sometimes manifests through an assumption that things are just different than what they are. And I don't think it's necessarily people assuming that they're special as much as people being like, what do you mean that a cup costs an extra 50 cents? It's never cost an extra 50 cents. Why would it cost an extra 50 cents now? And be like, man, it just is that way. Be like, this is bullshit.
This is absolute bullshit.
And you're, I think that's
you're describing a lot of conversations I might have had my senior year of high school or like
totally.
Freshman year of college.
Right.
Like, what do you mean? You know, you go to a gas station, you want a cup for spitting sunflower seeds in.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, you need to buy a drink. You're like,
what do you mean I need to buy a drink?
It's fucking bullshit, bro. This is the problem with it all.
It's fucking bull. This is fucking bullshit with that tone is one of my favorite things to hear out of somebody's mouth.
If there
this
was like
fucking bullshit.
If there was a radio show called This Is Fucking Bullshit, I would tune in every day.
Oh, man.
And it had to be run by a 17-year-old who's disgruntled.
Yeah. Yeah, because it really, I mean, I guess
that's. But that's a certain kind of entitled, like teen angsty kind of a vibe.
And I don't think that this is what that's
it's
what this sub
this,
is about.
So yeah, it's not that.
Yeah. Yeah. So this sub, so the way they describe it is welcome to. This is entitled people, by the way, if you're counting score at home. So
there's a few.
Score at home.
And within the entitled universe, there's a couple different versions. There's a good one called Entitled Bitches.
Yeah.
Or just Entitled Bitch.
Right.
Excuse me. Then nice. There's Entitled Parents. And entitled kids.
Oh damn!
Entitled parents is pretty brutal because those are the examples of people being like, "What do you mean there isn't wheatgrass available?"
Oh
right.
God,
this is bullshit.
Yeah, if you want to, that's like Erewhon.
Yeah,
in a nutshell. What's this is so great about Reddit? Reddit has a subculture entitled people, but then within that they have subcultures
all these subcultures
within the entitled people
exactly.
subculture.
Love that.
So let's go over. So the sidebar on this. So you've come to the perfect subreddit to complain about the customers or the general public that you think are much more important than they think they are. That Jesus Christ, that they are much more important than you, and they think they are better than you. Let's keep it rated R and have fun. You think you're better than me, dude?
You think you're fucking better than me?
Have you ever said that?
I don't think I've ever said that because it's such a ridiculous phrase.
You need high self-esteem, self-esteem to say that. I don't think I've ever been that like cocky about myself.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
I could use a little of that maybe. Yeah.
You think you're better than me?
You think you're better than me?
That means you love yourself.
Right.
Which is nice.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think if there's ever a situation to where that might be an instinct that would come out of my mouth, I have another way to frame that argument. I think I think I'm gonna say something a little bit different than like, "Well, you think you're fucking better than me, dude?" Because it just seems petty, and it also is like inherently kind of like chest blowing up. You know,
it's like it's lame to be like, "I'm actually better than you." Yeah, as a totally. Response, it's like counterproductive.
Yeah,
I think my response is if somebody said that to me would be like, "Yes, I think I am better than you.
I
have shoes,
right?
And a toilet." This is like something you say to some.
I play one instrument. How many do you play?
How many do you play?
That's the answer.
Kensington, grab me my fiddle.
Kensington.
All right, Kensington is even weirder than Kensington.
Doesn't even make sense.
All right, so the top post of this past week is an example of how this works. So it's a tweet from Amanda with A-H-H, M-A-N-D-A-H. It was 1997. I was outside of a McDonald's at Queen Street, age 15. An old lady barked, "Speak English," at a pair of young Korean men. Without me missing a beat, one of them goes, "Ooh, I want a nice cup of tea. Look at me. I'm English. I want to eat plain toast." I miss him every single day.
I love the plain toast detail.
I want to eat plain toast.
Yeah, that's really funny.
It just says everything about the island of England.
Yeah. So this is actually something you're seeing a lot, and I don't understand why, is a lot of this like speak English, like just yelling at strangers or like people that you're not even interacting with. That for some reason you feel like it's in, this is the entitled part.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you are both the one to deliver the message, and it's even a necessary message to deliver that a foreign language should not be spoken in public around in a country where that's not the native tongue. And I don't understand that. You're seeing a lot of that stuff on Reddit right now, actually.
Yeah.
Like there's a classic one that was also
like speak American, bro.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the speak American thing, but it's even more. It's like you can speak in private, but like don't talk in Korean in public, and be like, well, why? And like those are the things too. I mean, there is an element. There's like the entitledness, but there's also like the app, like literally crazed person behavior that is like you kind of don't even need to interact with it because it's just like this person, like an old lady. Yells at two Korean people talking to themselves, speak English. Like, she might be fucking out of her mind. And it's not even worth entertaining that because.
Oh, she's definitely out of her mind.
That's just like so. It's so.
There's a certain kind of person that yells at someone during the day.
Right.
They're definitely unemployed.
Yes.
Because they were at home all day watching cable news and reading the internet. And then the second they hit the public, they're like a cocked trigger. And they see one little thing, and then they just boom, and it's off. Versus you, who are working all day, who are tired as fuck when you go to get ice cream, you're like, I'm not. I need to go home and eat this ice cream.
Yeah,
because I'm not getting picking a fight with a Korean lady.
Yeah.
No.
Well, first of all,
they're tough as shit.
Here's an example of like the flip side, which is the Karen meme, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So Karen, I think, is kind of the quintessential. That's like the star of entitled people, right? And that's the woman with the silly haircut and the strange sunglasses.
Flustered middle-aged white lady.
Yeah, flustered middle-aged white lady with like, but she doesn't realize she's flustered. She thinks that she's got her shit together, and she goes, "I would like to speak to your manager, please." Right, like that's the
she
entitled.
She cares a lot about
Karen,
little
right?
stuff.
So this is the next post down from this past week, and it says. This is a guy posting, "Everyone who works in customer service should legally be allowed to fight one customer a year." And it's a post.
That's a cool rule.
I know. That's a great rule. But this is from a Subway. I think this must be from Subway. And this is a report. This is a a review. It's a 1-star review. It says, as a last minute resort, me and my sister went to the Subway to get 63-foot-long subs for my grandson's confirmation party and had to wait for over an hour for the subs.
It's pretty fast.
Ridiculously long wait. And the lady who took my order seemed really annoyed with me. That sums up beautifully.
Jesus Christ.
I would never, I don't know. There's so many problems with that, but call ahead, go to 3 Subways because there's one on every corner and like, don't be a douche.
Here's another one.
The high school kid's going to be pissed. Did you work at Subway, Dog Boobs?
No.
You seem like you'd be someone who...
No, I
didn't.
What
is that supposed to mean?
I'm trying to think of a connection. The veterinarian's office I worked at was next to a Subway.
Oh, okay.
So we smelled their bread all the time. That must
be why. I think that you just like... You have an aroma of fresh... Yeah.
I feel like your spirit...
Honey wheat.
Your spirit colors are like a green and a yellow
green
or something.
And
maybe that's what I'm reading off you.
Maybe.
What?
I'm not mad at it.
What about Dog Boobs would have made her seem like she worked at a Subway?
Seem like you worked at a Subway.
I feel like you would have made a great sub and with a nice, approachable face. And like it would have just been a nice experience where, you know.
Yeah, I mean, here's the
thing. I don't disagree with
that. I could have seen in high school you had that job for like a summer.
It would have been better than what I did have. I was Petco dog groomer and I was wet and covered in shampoo all the time and... It would have been nice to work at a Subway.
Here's one. Some woman flipped me off and honked. This is the other thing about this sub, by the way. It's a lot of catharsis. It's a lot of like knowing that these people exist and knowing that we all have to deal with them on a daily basis and then reading anecdotes to where people are combating it with their own shit and in a good way. So how to fight back entitlement 101. Some woman flipped me off and honked at me in the McDonald's drive-thru because I was taking too long to order. So I paid for our food. Then, when I got to the food window, I showed them both my receipts and took her food. I paid for it. It's mine. Not today, Satan.
Oh, that was a cool story.
Yeah. That's a really, like...
I mean,
do it, you know?
Part of me is like, just don't get involved. But then I'm like, it's cool, you know? Kid's a little bitch.
Yeah.
Here's a nice long story. Continue.
Let's do a story, but I want you guys to start thinking about a time you maybe had someone write one of these about you.
God.
Ooh, this is
fun.
This is a fun time.
And I think I probably earn them on the road. Like, I think I drive way too fast.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, I'll blame it on LA just because I won't take responsibility ever. Just kidding, guys. But I don't know. I think I've become like a more aggressive, dickish driver since living here. But I'm sure someone's like, this guy fucking cut me off, bro.
But I don't know. But is that entitled? I don't think that's an entitled move.
It's like, I need to get here faster than you do.
Yeah.
But I do think people.
But that's like just that's aggressive. Yeah, I don't think that's entitled. I think entitled would be like
Maybe like coming to your podcast like an hour late while the other two are here ready to go because like you needed a little more sleep. I feel like that could be a good example of being an entitled bitch.
Entitled Clensington's daughter.
Are Clensington's daughter.
You are. Seem like cut after Clensington. I'm trying to think of mine. I think concerts is probably mine.
Because you're like 6'2" and like I'm 5'11" and
will,
you're like too tall in front of me.
I will often
squat.
It's not I will go to shows or I will choose to not go to shows if I feel like I can't get in, have to buy a ticket instead of getting on a list, you know, like shit like that. Mm-hmm. Which I'm like aware is an entitled move, and I think that I'm trying to like change that behavior a little bit. I'm trying to like
you don't want
to
be with the Gen Pop.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Who does? Yeah. I mean, have you ever flown business class or something? You're like, whoa, this is way better. It's not a little better. I'm never going back there. Again.
Notably better. Yeah.
Except then you have to soon because it's expensive.
Well, I do like the idea of like.
True.
Actually, you know what?
It's nice being VIP.
Yeah. I did have
even
a
though your dad would fucking spit in your grave, bro.
Yeah. My dad will spit in my grave.
Spit in your shoes?
On my on my flight back. I feel like airlines are a big place for this.
Yeah.
You get a lot of this fucking bullshit.
It's the public interacting in a sort of a stressful situation.
Yeah.
So it's a pressure cooker for people's worst tendencies.
I will say though, I think who you decide to take it out on says a lot about the level of entitlement.
Yeah, because right? I kick a lot of dogs.
Right.
But exactly. You take it out on like the old lady.
No, I take it out on the CEO of the company.
Oh, yeah.
I send an angry email to
you
him.
You send a stern email.
I do like the guy I think I might have started saying this, but there was a...
Dear Bill Spirit Airlines. Yeah.
Yes. Bill Spirit. So I was on my way back from London. I was flying Norwegian Airlines. And Norwegian is kind of like... I've started to refer to them as the great city bus in the sky.
It's one of those airlines. I was going to say they seem entitled as a country because they're good looking.
Well, they're pretty like my first experience was it was a pretty good airline. Like on the way over, I was just like, hell yeah, it's pretty nice. I like it. Like they've got a couple things in their system that I'm like, oh, wow, you guys are doing this right. But then on the way back from London, they have a rule evidently where if they think that your bags weigh a certain amount, they will pull you out of the line as you're getting on the flight, weigh your bags, and if they're over, they charge you 80 quid, right? But
we all know quid
is pounds, right?
We don't know.
Yeah, it seems like a fucking scam. And then, so I got pulled out. My bags were double the limit. So Damn. Totally makes sense. But they're also, like, I've never heard of, like, once your bags are through security, you're fucking good. Like, what's the problem, you know? So the guy...
It's a nickel and dime bullshit move. So did you do exactly what I did and wear the clothes
and get
on the front page of Reddit?
I just had to pay.
In 2011?
Yeah. But the guy in front of me threw an absolute insane hissy fit.
Yeah,
that I was just kind of like, wow, this guy's out of control. And then they did it to me, and I was just like, I was talking to the woman, and I was like, you know, I'm sorry, but like, can you explain? So you're just weighing you're doing this random? You're weighing bags, and she gave me some fucking sass,
whoa,
and I was like, listen, lady, like, look at all the fucking people that are bringing on bags that are bigger than mine. Are you pulling me out randomly? What is going on? And,
right.
And so I started getting a little snappy, but that was because she was getting snappy with me.
You wish you had this death hammer with you.
Oh, yeah. But it was a little bit of an entitled move because it was like, again, it's like, it's not her fault. She's doing her job, you know?
Okay.
But she wasn't very fucking nice.
No.
So what am I supposed
to do? Two things.
They're defend my family, you know?
They're pulling a bullshit move, so they're setting themselves up to get this response, right? Mm-hmm. They know they're nickel and diming, so they're going to get people pissed, right?
Right.
That's the stage they're set. And you say it's the lady's just doing her job, but she doesn't have to work in this industry. There's other jobs. Like part of her likes the power of controlling and fucking up your day.
Cool. I think. No, I agree with that.
It's like parking meters.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's other jobs.
Just in general, people who work at airports, I think, like, I can't even blame them sometimes because I'm like, oh my God, if you had to deal with that volume of people every single day, like, you would have no patience at all.
Zero.
You do get yelled at.
They always treat you like you're a fucking moron. Like, I think one time I, like, didn't take, I had, like, a tiny aerosol type of spray makeup thing and, like, didn't think to take it out. And they, like, gave me such attitude, like, wow, what part of taking the aerosol can out of your bag did you not realize? And I'm just
so
like,
brutal.
Oh my God.
You're trying to blow up the plane?
Yes.
Thanks. What, do you want to kill 300 souls?
I guess you want to kill 300 souls.
I was just like, for fuck's sake, I'm
outrageous. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think you can be shitty to them because they've chosen to work
God.
A terrible place. Ay, ay, ay.
It ain't fun.
It ain't fun. But yeah, so that's let's get into some more of these.
What was the story you had chambered?
Chambered? Oh, the chambered story? The sacred chambered story. So it was okay, so where'd I find it? I think I lost it again.
This is us trying to do a format on the show where we read a story and the listeners are captivated.
This is actually an airline story. So background, airline captain commuting to work purchased a full fare first class ticket to get there. So airline captain, right? Lived in Atlanta at the time, domiciled. So this is the background for all this. Domiciled in Houston and commuted. Normally you would get a jump seat in the cockpit. But on this auspicious day, that was already taken. Pass riding wasn't an option because there were no seats in coach and only one in first. Pass riders can be bumped for fare paying or bumped for fare paying passengers. And I needed to get to work. So I plunked down my credit card and bought the first last seat in first. Boarding has occurred, and I'm peacefully in my seat waiting for pushback. Waiting for pushback. Wait, why would you be waiting for pushback? I don't really understand.
I don't know.
Let me share this with you guys since I'm, you know, I can barely read and, kind of, you know.
We're probably trying this story out. Right.
Cast of characters. So me, commuting pilot, EW, entitled woman, FA, flight attendant, CPT, captain of the flight I'm on. EW, you're sitting in my seat. You'll need to move right now. You'll need to move right now. What a fucking framing. Me, checks boarding pass. Nope, this is my seat. Not going to happen. Sorry.
You're an employee.
Oh, I know. You're an employee. You're sitting in my seat. Move now.
Ugh.
May I see your boarding pass? Clearly, there's been some mistake. You may not see my boarding pass. I showed that when I boarded. I've upgraded to first class. Now move.
Ooh,
wow.
I like this person.
You'll need to resolve this with the flight crew. I'm a passenger. EW stomps off, resembling an irritated Dolores Umbridge, and returns to FA, good morning, Captain. May I see your boarding pass? Sure thing. Shows boarding pass. Ma'am, that's a seat. He paid for it. Well, then throw him off, dear. I've upgraded first class, and that is now my seat.
What?
FA, I'll need to see your boarding pass, ma'am. You will not. I showed it when I boarded. I've upgraded for first class. How did you upgrade to first class? I upgraded to first class. It's more important than any employee. Now get him out of my seat. Someone has called the cockpit, and the captain has left the flight deck to deal with this. Oh, man, it sucks. Captain. Ma'am, I'm Captain Wallaby, not his real name. I've just spoken with the gate agent. We certainly apologize for the awkward situation. The agent has corrected your paperwork and has a voucher for future travel for you as well.
Oh.
Please go fetch your new boarding pass and your voucher, and we'll be on our way. EW departs on the jetway, a triumphant smile on her face. The captain turns to the FA and says, prepare the doors for departure. The doors close. The captain returns to the cockpit. And as we push back from the gate, I can see EW pounding on the glass next to the jetway. It was a nice ride to Houston. The coffee was wonderful. Oh,
whoa. That is some big pilot energy. That is
absolutely big pilot energy.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Can you have that?
So brutal.
Can you have big small dick energy?
You can have small dick energy.
But does that mean you have low energy?
Not low energy.
Do you know what I mean?
Just
like,
small dick energy.
I'm trying to figure out the energy scale of measurement.
That guy had big dick energy.
Yeah, that guy did.
Yeah.
The captain for sure did.
Does that mean you have a big dick, I guess is what I'm saying.
You're acting like you do.
You're acting like
you're
you do.
You're acting like
that's
you
do. That's for sure.
Big, how do we know?
Small dick energy.
We only know if we pants them in the middle of the airport. Okay, I found another. Oh, the best of all time. Top of all time. Beautiful. How to fight back entitlement 101.
Oh, I think I just read this one, didn't I?
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
The McDonald's?
Yeah, McDonald's. Yeah. Just read that one.
Literally read it out loud just now.
Yeah, but here's another one to make up for
that's
that.
That's the one you read in the beginning, yeah?
Right.
Oh,
Korean
God.
Lady? Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
This is about the McDonald's and them paying
off
for two.
Oh, well, yeah.
This is why we don't pay a producer, because it's a waste.
Why would we want?
Of yeah.
Waste.
I hate when the store closes on time. So this is Sarah L. on Yelp writing about PetSmart. My husband and I have shopped here consistently for years, but we will use a different location from now on. They will literally lock the doors right in front of your face if you show up 2 minutes after closing.
Do you think
unbelievable
the
locker?
The sort of immediate gratification generation is going to lead to more entitled people.
But I don't think these people are the problem. Like, this is the thing. This is one of the big things I always get annoyed when the conversations about millennials come up.
You know how we like to get to the bottom of everything.
We are. We do get to the bottom of it. But like, these people don't strike me as they don't have big millennial energy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like these are
disgruntled baby boomer generation.
Yeah.
This is boomer energy shit.
You're right. Like, Karen is a boomer.
Yeah.
Like, we know what her haircut is. We know how old she is.
Yeah.
She's not a millennial.
There's this kind of like, I'm going to stand up for myself, boomer mindset that they have, where it's like a point of personal pride that they take into the world. And it, like, you see it in airports.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas, like, I think the younger people are just like, airports are fucking, it's like when you walk in, you got to kind of like go to Costco Zen mode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just like shut the fuck up. You put your headphones on. Young people are all listening to something cool, and their kind of minds in another place.
You get how it's going to go.
Yeah.
We you know how it's going to go. And then it kind of goes that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, boomers
and it's no
are
surprise.
Like,
boomers are like, what?
You can't smoke on an airplane anymore?
Yeah. We used to get dressed up to go on our flights. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, you're exhausted.
There's parts of that I miss with the feet thing. But yeah. Right. I think you can pick and choose a couple.
Got a little too casual.
I think, I think boomers are a fucking problem.
Boomers are a pox upon us all.
They are. They are a pox upon us all.
Feel
a pox upon us all is such a beautiful framing.
Okay, this is a funny one that you haven't said yet. Douchebag reviewer gets demolished.
Amazing.
It's this guy on Yelp. Don't bother calling for takeout. They put you on hold and never come back. Frankie D's, the owner, responds, "Sorry for your inconvenience. The server taking your order had a seizure while doing so and couldn't complete the process. When you showed up to retrieve your order and it was not ready, even though there was an ambulance in front of the restaurant and we were tending to the medical emergency at hand, we offered to complete your order at that time. I am sorry that you declined and chose to complain in a public forum."
Oh,
yikes.
I have a personal story relating to that.
Oh, boy.
I was at the Ronald Reagan Library with my grandparents one time.
With your dad?
Yeah. It was weirdly my mom's side of the family. But in the Ronald Reagan Library's defense, it's a great presidential library with a really nice view. So
I've heard it's actually quite nice.
Ronald Reagan, of course, is a fucking murderer, horrible piece of shit. Yeah, but
totally.
I honestly love that library. So we were like going in, and this kid didn't hold the door for my grandma. Right. And like she just was a snarky lady in general, so she was like, "Wow, thanks, kid."
Oh, nice.
My God.
And his mom comes out like right afterwards and goes to my grandma and says, "I am so sorry, ma'am. My son has autism and he doesn't know, like he doesn't pay attention to his surroundings at all times." Right. Like he definitely. And my grandma was like, "I am so sorry." Like. She called him out and like thought he was just a rude little kid, and it turns out it was actually like he was, you know, differently abled.
Oh.
And it just reminds me of that douchebag reviewer. It's like
you kind of never know what someone else is going through or dealing with.
It's true. It's true. You don't, and people should remember that and how they interact with people.
I just don't. This is
unless you're a boomer.
So why are most of these of like the Karen archetype? Like, why is it just that, like, men are a little bit more like, "Oh, I'm just going to drink a fucking Miller Lite and let this one pass"?
I don't know.
I think men inherently have the "this could lead to physical violence" gene where
they let a lot of petty stuff go
because there's the threat of danger. Whereas, I think most women don't live in that world as much.
That's an interesting thought, actually. Yeah, you're not going to be throwing fisticuffs.
Like,
yeah,
typically, and I don't know.
I just most of the top, most of the posts in general. Like there are a couple from guys, but like a lot of them are like wild women that I'm just like.
I know.
What
I wonder what
is
that is
on?
About. Yeah. I am trying to think of that. Like, well, there's this one. So on the top of this week, I think it's 9 down. There's a funny one about Kylo Ren from the new Star Wars movies. They say Kylo Ren is named through a combination of Kyle and Karen. So I'm assuming Kyle is like the male version of Karen.
Right.
I just haven't seen a lot of stories about Kyle.
Is it like is it a meme?
I don't know for sure, but like this post makes me think it is, because otherwise I'm like, then what's the joke?
Yeah.
But they call out that Kylo Ren commonly destroys objects and throws hissy fits when he's angry, along with constantly speaking to his manager, Snoke. That is his manager. He's like Amazing. The annoying. He's like Dwight Schrute.
I hated that character in that movie.
Yeah, Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
I thought it was. I know, right? He was just like a whiny teenager. Yeah.
He was a whiny teenager.
Yeah, I don't like it. And it was the same character as Anakin when he was. It was kind of that. Padma. It's like, come on. I mean, teenage boys are quite annoying, I guess, especially when they're going through Jedi puberty.
I think we're seeing a lot on the internet right now too it's pre-Karen behavior, like entitled girls and dating. Like you're seeing a lot of these like I'm looking at one right now that just says, "Imagine knowing a guy that can solve all of your financial problems without asking for sex." Right?
Damn.
And the comment that falls is called, "His name is employment."
Yeah.
Which sums up nicely. But you're seeing a lot of these lately that are like ladies, like, you know, only date guys who will email you when you block them.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, stop.
Yeah. It's like a really strange.
Ew.
It's again, it's like this weird. I'm like, I don't.
No, it's like.
I saw
I'm trying
a post.
To deconstruct why it's such a why the entitlement is like a largely female behavior. I don't understand why. Like I don't, and maybe it's like Like there are. I'm not saying there aren't guys who are entitled.
I think it's
but
Beyonce
it's like,
and Kim Kardashian.
It is really
maybe actually.
Weird.
Yeah.
Because like when you think of like some, it's confusing. You know, right. Listeners, let us know what you think.
In general, don't you think there's something going on in like media messaging where people are told to be their loudest self and like live their loudest, like you be you, girl. And it's like, okay, but not at the expense of the public's being them in an airport, right?
Yeah.
So, the ad messaging like wants to get people to buy more XYZ Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
But it also gets you to put your feet up in an airport with your shoes off, right?
True.
Yeah.
When you're drinking that Coke, is my logic followed with you guys?
Kinda.
I mean, no. Yeah.
No,
guys,
I'm
come
just
on. You guys are in charge of this.
I'm finding myself getting angry as I'm reading these because I'm just like
Karen.
The fuck? Yeah, there's just a lot. And Karen is also
Beyonce told them to do it.
And it's like, I think we should also clarify, it's like a certain type of entitlement we're talking about. Like everyone knows like men are entitled to.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting. There's a different kind of entitlement.
Yeah, there's a Tekashi 6ix9ine version of this too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, bro,
but like this Karen entitlement, how it's always like this mom character with like a short haircut. Like that is definitely like the image we all get of this like snotty mom-aged woman being like, I want to talk to your manager.
Yeah, that's honestly what it is. And it's like, what is this mindset? A lady kicked her off. What is this mindset? A lady kicked her off, not bus driver, by the way. Blind woman told to get off the bus because guide dogs can't be black.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And again, it's just, it's the true Karen. Yeah, so Karen is
what?
It's a Karen. Woman feels inconvenienced by 16-year-old who is on the brink of death after car accident. I just read this news article. It's in German, so I'll give you the rundown. A 16-year-old motorcycle driver was hit by a truck. The paramedics had to treat him on the spot so that he'd have a chance of survival. This didn't sit right with a 50-year-old driver who claimed that she had an important appointment, and the resulting traffic jam was getting in the way of that. The police told her to calm down and get back in the car. Well, she didn't like that and started to harass them nonstop, screaming, cursing, getting out of the car to nag at them because she was running late. After all of it, just a single motorcycle driver, how long could it take? Sadly, the boy died later in the hospital, and the bitch is facing charges for blocking the corridor for emergency vehicles and resisting enforcement officers.
Wow.
I hope the poor guy gets at least entertainment out of haunting her for the rest of his miserable existence.
Whoa. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, are all
it's
of our sociologists listeners?
Down.
Yeah, like, yeah, think about what's going on here.
Yeah, like, I've had moments where I maybe, like, I can't think of any specifics, but where I've been like, hey, what's going on? Like, I need to get somewhere. And just if you hear the reason, it's not going to kill you to just be like, oh, okay, sorry, didn't realize that was going on. Like, why do they have to double down? Like, well, I don't care. Yeah. It's like, just realize like, okay, like you misjudged the situation. Go sit down. Like, it sucks, but you're going to be late to this meeting because someone's about to die.
I guess the men that I'm seeing that are entitled in this tend to be just like monsters.
Yeah.
And the women are like this thing where you're just like, they almost seem irrational and broken. You know, I don't know. It's an interesting, the Karen archetype is really interesting. I think we're going to end up revisiting Karen because it is like it's a very, very popular thing on the internet.
Yeah,
you
that's
see,
true.
It's like a joke that you see constantly, and it is like it's a real truism. I wonder if it's an international thing too. Like what is the Karen in other places?
It's excuse me, lady.
Yeah, yeah, it is exactly. Excuse me, can I speak with your manager?
Excuse you.
Yeah.
It's the lady who catches up.
Excuse you is one of my fucking least.
That lady.
That is. Yeah. Oh. I get real when I meet people like this in real life. I actually do get very, very snappy.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm like
good.
Yeah.
You gotta be.
I revert to 17-year-old douche dom.
Yeah.
Which is like you fat piece of shit, lady. It's like you like go to like a rude shit talker.
Yeah. You're like, why don't you turn that big fat ass around and get out of my face? Like, yeah.
Oh my god.
I get it.
Nice shoes, you idiot.
I get it. I just looked up Karen on Know Your Meme.
Right.
And Karen is a slang term used as an antagonistic female character in memes. It's characterized by as an irritating, entitled woman, sometimes an ex-wife who took custody of the kids.
Mm. Wow.
That's
there you go.
There you go.
There's kind of, oh, that means like she's on the payroll, but has all day to just like move around like a pool sweep in public and just piss people off.
Yeah. I love the entry in Urban Dictionary is 44, mother of three, blonde, owns a Volvo, annoying as hell, wears acrylics 24/7, currently at your workplace speaking to your manager.
Owns a Volvo. That's fucking hilarious. Wow. Well, anyway, so we're coming up in crunch time. I think we got to close this one out. But Karen, we could talk about Karen for days because it is such a big thing on the internet. But entitled in general, I think is. This one makes me angry. I'm getting tense. Really,
I think to me the key factor here is not being busy doing anything else.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a job or it doesn't have to be a job, it can just be like a hobby or something you're into, right?
Yeah. Right.
Like get into something so you're out of everybody else's shit.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding.
When you just pool sweep the public
looking
for problems, you're going to find bullshit and then engage.
Yeah. Like go home, binge watch Harlots on Hulu.
Karens are little pool sweepers.
Watch Harlots on Hulu.
They're pool sweepers on like a Xanax, an Adderall, and a glass of Chardonnay.
Yeah.
And like, you know, a heavy dose of Fox News in the morning or something.
Oh my God.
Or whatever news they're into. Fucking Karen, dude.
Karen, honestly, like Fox News, yes, I know.
But there's a CNN version of Karen.
But I have a feeling she's into MSNBC.
She's what's that lady on NBC named? Lady with the glasses who cries.
Oh.
No. I mean, honestly, dude, like this is.
She feels Karen-esque.
This is one of the big. Oh, this is going to. We can't open up this can of worms, but this is like the death of the. Death of the Democratic Party is the because Hillary Clinton kind of has Karen energy. She's got Karen energy, man.
Excuse you.
She does. You.
And that's
if she grew her hair into an angular bob.
I'll say Elizabeth Warren has it too.
No way.
No.
I think she's a different kind of vibe.
Elizabeth Warren is lesbian bookstore from Portlandia.
She's got an excuse you vibe. I'm sorry. And I think there's people that have a reaction to that.
I agree.
Principal voice, excuse you, that are just.
Yeah. Ooh, I could see her as a principal.
I personally think a lot of the stuff she says is like really interesting and good, but what my concern would be is that people's initial guttural reaction is she reminds me of my seventh grade principal in the excuse you tone. You didn't put your garbage away and you're getting excused. And I think people might just vote based on that guttural reaction.
Potentially very troublesome. You might be right.
She needs to like deepen her voice or like put on a something just to like throw people off the scent of it.
I don't think she needs to do anything other than maybe wear a little tilted fedora
tells
people that like she's a little bit edgy and like
she's hyphy.
I just think she needs to wear that.
She needs to release her gamer tag online. That's what I think.
Yes.
That's what she needs to do.
I would die.
All right. So entitled people, we'll continue talking about entitled people because it gives me gets me rock hard thinking about entitled people. All right. So
everyone's got a boner in this pod.
Everyone's
got
a boner in this pod.
All right. So okay, so let's close this boy out with a couple randoms.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
And moving on. All right, what do you guys got?
I just got UCLA, which is triggering because I didn't get admitted to UCLA. So fuck you.
Oh, boy.
So I got environment, which is triggering because
we're all dying.
We're all going to die.
So Flume. So this is interesting. So I just landed on Flume. He had a big internet moment a couple weeks ago because Flume is his big EDM. He's not prototypically EDM, but he basically makes EDM.
Okay.
And and he was at Burning Man, and there's a video of him eating ass on the stage at Burning Man.
Oh yeah.
And it was trending on Twitter. So
I heard about this.
So he's he became he's like whole brand now is about eating ass, which is amazing.
It's so interesting. Eating ass has been in the public, you know, whatever for the last 6-7 years and growing, but this feels like the tipping point.
This feels like the tipping
back to Mac and Gladwell when someone's actually branding themselves the ass eater rapper.
So I think Flume is now he's the ass eater fucking mascot.
Wow.
That's exciting.
That's cool. It feels like a little bit of like a Pauly Shore or the Wheeze the Juice kind of a move. Like, this isn't going to last.
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's.
I don't think so. So funny. All right. Good to be back. Nice seeing you guys.
Hey, guys.
All you listeners.
On a personal note, it was great to see you guys this morning. This was fun.
Comes back. Feels nice.
It was good to be back.
Looking forward to Dog Boobs being half an hour late again next week.
Okay,
with
you guys.
A new job.
Here's the thing. I have got a new job coming up. I'm going to get my alarm clock shit figured out. Let's see. Next week, I have a feeling I'm going to be on time.
Like to see you try.
Hope you show up in a business suit next week.
I will.
It's going to be exciting.
It would be nice. All right. Until next week, this is Did You Reddit, weekly podcast about the internet. By way of Reddit, the front page of the internet, my name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
My Friday, third base.
See you later.